Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Ho, ho, no. Merry Christmas and welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. You can read their work on sportsmap.com or follow them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975. So what do you guys want to talk about? You guys want to talk about the halftime show or what you got for Christmas? Because there's no way anyone wants to talk about this actual game. I mean, we're here, so might as well. I actually do think there are some important takeaways from this game. I guess before we get into the blow by blow here, I want to start with the matchup. Texans have been competitive for most of the season here, but once again, just get dominated by the Ravens and by Derrick Henry, this time the combo of them both. In boxing, they say that matchups make fights. What is it about this matchup, in your opinion, that just keeps Houston so perplexed against the Ravens?
Well, let's just take two of the Texans' perceived strengths, C.J. Stroud and Joe Mixon. C.J. Stroud doesn't hold a candle to Lamar Jackson. Joe Mixon doesn't hold a candle to Derrick Henry. Then we can get to the offensive line play, which was the biggest question mark about the Ravens coming into this season. They had to replace three starters from last season's offensive line. The Texans actually had pretty good continuity returning from last season's offensive line. The Ravens have another quality offensive line. The Texans' offensive line continues to just be a laughingstock. If this was English soccer, the Ravens would be in the Premier League and the Texans would be relegated.
Yeah, there's a lot to get into, but it is pretty simple, man. They're not in the same class with the Ravens. They're just not on offense or defense. I got to go there with this coaching. How about that being a big difference between the Ravens and Texans? I'm not going to point this as much at D'Amico. Anybody can look bad against Lamar and Derrick Henry, but Bobby Slowick and the offensive line coach, he should be fired, at least the offensive line coach, after that performance, because what happened? It's those stunts that have been killing them all season, right? First drive of the game gets ended by a stunt. They only had four guys on the line of scrimmage. They just did this and boom, you sack CJ, you end the drive. I mean, every single practice, that's all they should be facing is having stunts thrown at them because clearly they can't handle it. So I'm tired of hearing execution. Something's not being coached right because they're getting worse. This offense is getting worse every week. CJ is getting worse. And we'll get to CJ too. I think this is the worst game I've ever seen him play. So he missed the second drive. CJ missed three straight throws and they had to punt. So it's not all on the coaching. But the offensive line is a disaster because they're just making so many mental errors. That it's four guys. That's all you had to deal with. And they can't seem to figure it out. They have to make a change. And I don't want to see Bobby Slowick next year either. You know, you can blame CJ for today. But on the season, they're making him, CJ, the whole offense worse. That's the opposite of coaching. So I know they only have one more game against Tennessee and then the playoffs. So maybe they won't decide to fire a coach now. But what would it hurt? What's the downside of giving it a try? The offense is a disaster right now. And it's not just the pass protection. Joe Mixon has been doing a whole lot of nothing the last few weeks, too. That's partly on the ground game, the coaching, the offensive line as well.
Including blitz pickup for Joe Mixon. The last of the five sacks, he was asleep at the switch on that. He's also averaging under 3.5 yards per carry over the last five or six games. And C.J. Stroud is a problem. 2 weeks in a row, he's been a big part of the mess. And apologists need to take a breath. It's not just that the offensive line blows chunks. C.J. Stroud today, if this was a game of pin the tail on the donkey, he'd have been putting pins on the wall, 6 feet left of the donkey's ass. I mean, pretty basic throws, consecutive throws early in the game where he missed a wide open Nico Collins on an out route on the right side. And in a simple little dump off where there was space for Dalton Schultz, he had a little pressure on him, but he wasn't under pressure. And it was a simple little toss. He had several throws where he was just woefully, woefully inaccurate. And then you think of him as an all-around weapon compared to Lamar Jackson. Lamar is amazing. I mean, the Ravens' first drive, Derrick Henry, all he had to do was get the ball, and he gained 6 yards, I think, before he even had to move. Right, the Texans got shut out in this game. Yeah. The only reason they scored is Derrick Henry probably got bored or surprised the Texans actually touched him within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, and he looped back into the end zone, enabling them to get the safety. But Lamar Jackson, the one early run where he just zoom takes off, and then, of course, the touchdown pass. But Lamar Jackson has evolved marvelously as a passer. That big throw to Zay Flowers on the first drive perfectly over Toa Toa, and I forget the corner, might have been Lassiter, who was not close enough in coverage. I mean, this was just a complete, to go back to the donkey, ass-kicking, coaching, offense, defense, special teams, even when they get the break. Chris Boyd runs out of bounds in coverage, so they make the Ravens re-kick, and that works to the Texans' advantage. You know, the bloom obviously is off the D'Amico Ryans Rose, which doesn't mean fire him or anything like that. The David Culley Texans were shut out twice in a season. The Texans offensively today, this is number one for the Ryans Slowick regime.
I've never seen so much pressure and unblocked rushers come from four guys. And yet it's like, that's what this Texans team gives you, is they just can't block four guys. If they do a stunt, that's it. The whole play's blown up. And Charlie, I want to underscore what you're saying here about CJ. 17 of 31, 185 yards, zero touchdowns, one interception, sacked five times. Several of those were of his own making, just holding onto the ball for too long. And even when he didn't get sacked, this is multiple games that we've seen this year where he holds onto the ball, runs out of bound, loses yardage instead of just throwing the ball away to take the incompletion. Granted, like, and you mentioned the accuracy issues, Charlie, this was a perfect storm, though, of missing his missing good targets because of the receiving core being so thin, lacking protection, facing an elite team. But I have to wonder, do you guys have larger concerns now from the big picture about, after a performance like this, the CJ Stroud shortcomings aren't just situational?
Well, that he's the chosen one and inevitably will lead the Texans to glory. Obviously, there's none of that at this point. Can he have a big step back year? And if it turns out to be better coaching, and we do need to include Nico Collins missing five games. Well, Nico's been there these two games with CJ Stroud, frankly, has sucked. The loss of Tank Dell, who earlier this season they weren't getting the ball to when Dell was there. So losing Tank, and other teams have injuries too, right? The Chiefs lost their best receiver for the season, Rashee Rice, very early in this season. So that's not an excuse. As the whole ship has listed and now is sinking, remember, the Texans were 5-1. So since then, this is a 4-6 football team. They're 4-1 against the trash heap, the AFC South. Their record against everybody else, also a losing record. So this team has lapsed into mediocrity. They'll be in the playoffs because the rules require somebody wins the AFC South. But they're on course to be a home underdog because the idea that, well, they play so much better at home, not after this one. So that's the best they're going to hang their hat on, whether it's the Chargers, the Broncos, or the Steelers coming in here. I think it'll be at least a mild upset if the Texans are able to get back to the division round, which they did manage to get to last season.
Part of this is perception, right? Like, they keep embarrassing themselves on national television. You know, the Jets were the laughingstock of the league, and then you go in there on Halloween and you get your butt kicked by him, and then everybody points at you like you're the laughingstock. You get five interceptions against the Lions. You find a way to blow that game. You know, against the Chiefs, it wasn't horrible, but the Chiefs kind of play everybody close outside of the Steelers game today, so I wouldn't hang my hat on, oh, only lost by like 8 to the Chiefs. And then this, I mean, if you're CJ, national TV, Netflix, Christmas Day, Beyonce, and you go out there and Davis Mills is finishing the game because you're so terrible and your team's so terrible. I'm just a proud guy, and he just keeps just laying eggs, or his team laying eggs in big national games. And as a Texans fan, it's not fun to get up for these games when your team just gets thrashed. And the McNairs, I mean, they also have to be kind of looking around. I'm sure they had fun riding in that little car behind Beyonce, but that's not a good look on the main stage when they do something like this. So look, at the end of the day, CJ's not going anywhere. You've seen what he's capable of. You know what Davis Mills is. So you need to find a way to help CJ. And I think it starts with coaching, because you're not going to add much talent. We didn't see Deontay Johnson. Maybe he gives you something, but that's just kind of a Hail Mary at this point. But this is a pattern. In big games, you know, when the spotlight's on this year, not last year, because they were great in the playoffs last year in a big game. They had some other ones where they weren't, but overall, last year felt really good. This year, they're going in the wrong direction. You can't waste CJ. You got to find a way to fix this.
Imagine how ugly it could have been if they hadn't extracted intel on the Ravens from Deontay Johnson. His only contribution, because as we talked about in the preview, I guess they couldn't say, on this play, go deep. On this play, run a 15-yard square out. So the new acquisition, they paid for this game to sit and watch. This one, I'd actually say, I get it, Deontay, refusing to go into this game, maybe leaving the stadium early, asking to be released. We should note, as we addressed in the preview, the Ravens entered the game second in the NFL in sacks. Van Noy added to his double-digit total rather early in the game. And then it was just too often a jailbreak, as we always see, seemingly, against the Texans. But while the Ravens have plenty of sacks, teams have thrown the ball successfully against them, right? They'd given up the fifth most passing yardage in the NFL if that yardage had been put into a quarterback, over 3,500 yards passing, 26 touchdown passes, only 9 interceptions by quarterbacks against the Ravens before this game. The Texans, after not mustering 100 yards of total offense in the second half in Kansas City, they finished with 211 against Baltimore. The expansion 2002 Houston Texans averaged 223 yards per game, to just lend a little perspective to the putrid, pathetic sub-mediocrity that the Houston Texans offense has devolved to as the season has gone along.
Going back to your point about Deontay Johnson, I don't know why he would leave the stadium, considering he'd get a free Beyonce concert out of it. Josh, you know, you mentioned change needs to be made on the offensive coaching staff. We know that there are some Slowik apologists out there. We're not going to name check them here, but we know who they are. I think some of them probably feel a little vindicated from today's game, because CJ certainly had his hand in this epic domination by the Ravens. But I wonder, you know, we had heard that Slowik would be safe over the offseason, but I wonder, going back to your point, Josh, about this being so visible, this being an embarrassment on a national stage where you look like you don't even belong. What do you guys feel now about the safety of Bobby Slowik's job during the offseason? Because this today was not a good look.
I'm inclined still to believe he's safe, .. unless they have, it's hard to envision if they have a performance this bad in the divisional round game. But if they have a putrid offensive performance and lose at home in the divisional round, which would render this season, if not an abject failure, it can't be claimed as a success because you won this trash division. If you wind up, you know, 10-7 because they win a meaningless game at Tennessee to gain a split with the Titans, and then you lose at home in the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, to me, that's where maybe the ice grows thin. Be a little tested, D'Amico, loyalty versus blind loyalty versus stubborn loyalty, right? This was his hand-picked offensive coordinator. Would you jettison him after a second season, the first season that he would be judged to have done a poor job?
Yeah, I think it's on the table now, just because it's so apparent, because nothing is getting fixed. I'm not even caring about the play calling as much anymore, because they can't get the stunts corrected. They can't pick them up, which is, they're always 3rd and 12 and 2nd and 9. Constant CJ's taking a bunch of hits. So I have, if I'm D'Amico, I have to see that my coaches can fix a simple problem like this. I mean, every single week, and every person that covers the Texans, that all those tweets came firing out at the beginning of the game. Oh, another stunt. They didn't pick it up. And this one wasn't even creative, where you had like a corner on the line of scrimmage and you're not sure who's coming. There were 4 guys there, so block them. So I think it's on the table that D'Amico is going to be like, I can't even think about play calling right now. You can't even get the offensive line to pick up a stunt. You can't coach the simple things. So I think a change could happen there. And another thing where I want to hammer the coaching, right before the second half was right before the end of the first half, when the Texans had the ball, they got the ball, they had 21 seconds left, and they drop CJ Stroud back. Fisher misses a block. He gets hurt, has to miss a play because he's injured, and then he plays the rest of the game banged up. I mean, I know he wasn't good before that, but it sure didn't help that he was hurt and then went had to play the whole second half. What was the strategy there? You had 21 seconds. You're going to go down the field in 21 seconds. And they showed you the whole game. They couldn't get anything done on offense. Just like right. When they went for it on fourth down to Joe Mixon there and didn't get it and didn't get the touchdown. They got gifted that pass interference penalty. That's one of those ball don't lie kind of things to where they get gifted that. And then instead of throwing it in the end zone and trying to get a touchdown, you throw it short of the sticks to Mixon, and he has to try and break through three tackles. They didn't even try for Nico Collins in the end zone there. That made no sense to me. And, you know, some of that CJ with decision-making, some of it's the play calling. And then what did Joe Mixon, like, picking a fight with the backup quarterback before the game? Did y'all see something about that, that they had to be separated or something? And then Mixon comes out and has another terrible performance. Like, come on, guys. We need to focus here on the important things.
For the end of the first half, D'Amico, whether desperate, frustrated, crossed the line between aggressive and stupid. I mean, there was no defense for trying with that field position and time on the clock. They just look like a lost cause at this point. But in one game in the playoffs, at least at home, they're not going to be facing a superpower, whether it's the Steelers, the Broncos, or the Chargers. But it just feels like, well, the upside is they manage to win that game and then they go get destroyed in Buffalo or Kansas City.
Charlie, you brought up D'Amico. Slowick's been taking his lumps on this episode, so it's only fair D'Amico takes his on defense. Derrick Henry had 10 carries for 86 yards in the first freaking quarter. Texans surrender 251 rushing yards for the game, 181 through the air. That's 432 total yards of offense for those who are mathematically challenged like myself. They did, however, score the only points of the game, so there is that. How much blame does the defense get in a situation like this where it was a complete failure across the board, but how much blame does the defense get because they had no answers for Derrick Henry today?
Right, but so many teams don't. Derrick Henry now 1,783 yards in what we think of as a 16-game season, the bonus game. If he goes crazy, he could get an asterisk second 2,000-yard season. But he just runs roughshod over the Texans routinely, except for his last couple of games on a Titan squad. It's the most dynamic quarterback running back tandem presently, and it's on the short list in NFL history for a single season. Obviously, they don't have the tenure as a pair. But Lamar Jackson is as good a running quarterback as the NFL has ever seen. That includes prime Michael Vick or anyone else you want to put up there. And as I said in the preview, Derrick Henry is the modern Earl Campbell with more big-time seasons than Earl Campbell had. So they are just a load. However, if you fancy yourself a swarm defense, that was pretty empty buzz. The Texans did sign DeNico Autry as a free agent, right? I mean, it seems like about the only time we heard his name was, yeah, he's been suspended 6 games. His impact has been minimal. And just as microcosm of this game, because overall, Danielle Hunter's had a tremendous season. But he was the guy put on skates, right? Lamar Jackson to likely with the touchdown where Lamar Jackson, I mean, he made the Texans defenders individually and collectively look silly. But Lamar Jackson is a special breed. And then the 48-yard run, you know, when the other team's quarterback is just much faster than your safeties and outside linebackers, that's an issue. That Mark Andrews ditched the most athletic Texans linebacker, Christian Harris. Just whoop, put the okey-doke on him, and Christian Harris left in the dust. I mean, we can beat the dead horse as many ways as we want. The Texans are still a dead horse with the Ravens galloping out of here.
Yeah, I kind of echo what Charlie said. A lot of teams get destroyed by the Ravens. It's not the end of the world. But D'Amico is going to take this personally because that's just how he's wired. And, you know, we've seen games where the defense was actually pretty good and he's blamed the loss on the defense when the offense was pretty poor. So I wonder if we'll see some of that because he's not going to be happy with that effort. But a lot of those guys were just Lamar's faster than you. Sorry. You know, that's just the way that is. But a lot of this goes back to the stunts, CJ missing throws. the second drive of the second half, a stunt ended that drive as well. And then CJ just, and he, even the commentators were like, man, CJ airmailed another one past that guy, airmailed another one past that guy. I mean, it was pretty obvious to everybody that was watching what was going on there. It was, the whole team just had a terrible game. Hopefully they throw this one away, move on. But the offense couldn't stay on the field. That's part of it too. The defense had to keep going back out there over and over again, you know, after third and out. So that's part of it too. And we're also seeing, you know, no Jimmy Ward, you know, we're starting to see these injuries pile up to, you know, where you don't have, you know, Azeez Al-Shaair, you didn't have him today. There's, you know, you need those guys when you're playing in an elite offense. So, and you saw no Tank today to hurt the offense, but as Charlie mentioned earlier, all teams have injuries. It's how you got to push through it. But there's a reason they picked up Deontay Johnson. They don't have another receiver on this team outside of Nico that you really have any confidence in.
To throw in one more point on CJ, if it's not alibying, if there is actually something in the injury column inhibiting its play, well, I reject that. Or D'Amico and any other decision makers, Slowick, Strausser, Nick Caserio, they're all morons if CJ Stroud is ailing, yet he's on the field when it's 31-2 in the fourth quarter. And had been dinged up earlier in the game. So if you're playing this time of year, you're not 100%. There's a difference between pain or dinged and injury. I just think CJ Stroud's in the throes of the first really, really bad slump, back-to-back poor performances. This game particularly pitiful. He looked like a Rockets three-point shooter in most games.
Most games, because last game pretty good. That's going to be it for this episode. We'll be back, though, to preview Titans-Texans, the final game of the season. We're going to be live after that game as well, so make sure you're subscribed with the notifications on so that you can come back and join us live for that game. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon. Thanks so much. Keep hope alive. Until next time, go Texans.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Update your home and save big money with Mastercraft Doors at Menards. For over 50 years, Mastercraft has been making quality doors inside and out. Choose from the best in-stock selection of interior and exterior doors ready to take home today. Or design your door your way with our free designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on Mastercraft Doors and check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big.